From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first day headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo approves utilizing Hajj dormitory to isolate returnees. U.S. President Donald Trump dismisses concern over virus spreading in White House. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo gave approval to a plan to utilize the Pondok Gede Hajj dormitory in East Jakarta and West Java's Bekasi municipality as a temporary isolation location for Indonesians recently arriving from abroad. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Chief of the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, Doni Monardo, stated during a press teleconference in Jakarta on Monday that the returning Indonesians, including migrant workers, students, Jamaah Tabligh members, and Shape crews, will be sheltered in temporary isolation rooms. Doni explained, President Joko Widodo has agreed to utilize the Hajj dormitory so that they can be sheltered in one area and be easily monitored. Indonesians from abroad have until now conducted self-isolation at hotels. However, medical workers are encountering difficulties in monitoring their health condition as the hotels are located at different places. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, during a virtual press conference at the Indonesian National Board for Disaster Management BNPB in Jakarta on Monday, May 11, conveyed several matters related to the repatriation and protection of Indonesians abroad. The minister said the magnitude of cases of protection for Indonesian citizens abroad during the COVID-19 pandemic is really extraordinary. Therefore, Minister Retno Marsudi said the government and all Indonesian representatives abroad will work hard to continuously improve the protection of Indonesian citizens.
Pemerintah Republik Indonesia,
Indonesian government and all representatives of Indonesia abroad have and will continue to increase effort to protect Indonesian citizens as much as possible. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi further appreciated the initiative of various Indonesian communities abroad who have worked hand in hand with Indonesian representatives abroad in providing assistance to the Indonesian citizens who are most vulnerable and most affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday dismissed concerns over the possible spread of coronavirus in the White House, but said he may limit contact with Vice President Mike Pence. Escorted by AFP.com on May 12, President Donald Trump, speaking to mass reporters in the White House Rose Garden, suggested that Pence was in quarantine after his press secretary tested positive, though he did not say it outright. Katie Miller, the spokeswoman for Pence, who heads the White House's coronavirus task force, tested positive for coronavirus last week, along with a personal valet to Trump. Three members of the task force have since gone into quarantine: infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci, Robert Redfield, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Stephen Hahn, head of the Food and Drug Administration. Swath of Europe, as well as New York, began the long process of reopening from coronavirus lockdowns on Monday, but a resurgence of infections in China and South Korea offered a sobering reminder of the dangers of a second wave of cases to resuscitate. As quoted by FP.com, the mixed fortunes illustrate the high-wire act governments face across the globe as they try to resuscitate shattered economies while keeping in check a pandemic that has now killed more than 283,000 people and infected over 4.1 million. As France and Spain embraced new freedoms and Britain and New York announced plans for a partial reopening, the Chinese city of Wuhan, where the pandemic was born, reported a second day of new cases after a month without a sign of the virus. A neighboring South Korea announced its highest number of infections for more than a month, driven by a cluster in a Seoul nightlife district. Global equities were mixed Monday as markets weighed hopes about economic restarts against worries over coronavirus cases, including signs of second wave outbreaks in Asia. As quoted by FP.com, France and Spain took new steps to ease lockdowns, along with more US states, some of which moved over the weekend to permit additional activity. But after more than a month without reporting any new cases, Wuhan, the central Chinese city where the outbreak first emerged, reports 5 new infections on top of one announced on Sunday. Global equities were mixed Monday as markets weighed hopes about economic restarts against worries over coronavirus cases, including signs of second wave outbreaks in Asia. As quoted by FP.com, France and Spain took new steps to ease lockdowns along with more US states, some of which moved over the weekend to permit additional activity. Craig Elam, an analyst at Oanda, stated fears of a second wave are already emerging in South Korea, China, and maybe even Germany, which should be a lesson to those countries preparing for looser restrictions. In the US, the trends have imposed significantly in New York City and some other initial hotspots, but the record elsewhere is mixed. The country now leads the world in fatalities with 80,000. Saudi Arabia unveiled plans Monday to triple its value-added tax and hold monthly allowances to citizens as part of coronavirus-triggered austerity measures, while deepening oil production cuts to prop up sagging prices. As quoted by FP.com, the austerity drive, which state media said would boost state coffers by 100 billion riyals or $26.6 billion, comes as the petro state grapples with the twin blow of record low oil prices and a virus-like economic slump. The steps could steer public amid an already high cost of living and intensify scrutiny of lavish multi-billion dollar state projects and expenditure, including the proposed purchase of English football club Newcastle United. Finance Minister Mohammed Al-Jadan said in a statement released by the official Saudi press agency that it has been decided the cost of living allowance will be halted from June 2020 and VAT will be raised from 5% to 15% from July 1st. The last item. New coronavirus clusters have been reported in Wuhan City, where the virus first emerged, and the northeastern province of Jilin in China. As quoted by BBC.com, Wuhan reported 5 new cases on Monday after confirming its first case since April 3 on Sunday. Authorities said the small cluster of cases were all from the same residential compound. China has been easing restrictions in recent weeks and cases had been declining. Health authorities and experts have warned that as countries emerge from strict lockdowns and people move around more freely, a rise in infections is likely. The small Wuhan cluster is the first to emerge since the end of the strict lockdown on April 8. One of the five cases reported on Monday was the wife of an 89-year-old man who became the first confirmed case in the city in well over a month on Sunday. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Anticipating the Repatriation of Indonesian Citizens Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. While listener, the COVID-19 pandemic has brought about serious economic impact to all countries. Restrictions on human movements are carried out to prevent wider spread of the COVID-19. These restrictions had bad consequences for the economy. Countries are faced with difficult choices, stopping the spread of disease or allowing economic activity as usual with the risk of wider transmission. Many countries are forced to choose to stop the spread of the disease to avoid more fatalities. Indonesian citizens at home and abroad feel the economic impact due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Wave after wave of the repatriation of Indonesian citizens from abroad continues until now. They are students, ship crews, and most are migrant workers. The crew and migrant workers go home because the work contract is finished or the contract period is expedited because the country where they work applies restrictions. When opening a limited meeting about the acceleration of the COVID-19 handling, through video conference on Monday, President Joko Widodo estimated that around 34,000 Indonesian migrant workers will complete their work contracts in May and June. They will then return to the country. Meanwhile, the total number of Indonesian citizens who have returned to Indonesia until May 11, 2020, reached 89,595 people. The president also asked relevant ministers and agencies to coordinate to prepare for their return. One is the health protocol to ensure that they are in good health. If someone is sick, the president asks his aides to immediately prepare an isolation room and examine them so that there is no potential for transmitting COVID-19 to the public. Compliance with the health protocol was also confirmed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a press conference at the National Disaster Mitigation Agency in Jakarta on Monday. She asked all Indonesian citizens to return from abroad to follow the health procedures prepared by the task force for the acceleration of COVID-19 handling. If there is a COVID-19 symptom, they will follow the guidelines for implementing independent quarantine. With the repatriation of tens of thousands of Indonesian citizens, the Indonesian government is expected to immediately update the social safety net data to help them economically. In this regard, both central and regional governments' coordination is very important. The regional governments must be prepared to receive them, including the preparation of economic assistance. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today in history will begin on May 12, 1949, when Berlin blockade ends. The Berlin blockade, which began on June 24, 1948 until May 12, 1949, was one of the first major international crises of the Cold War. At that time, all rail, water, and road links to Berlin were severed by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union did this in reaction to the enactment of economic reforms and the establishment of the Deutsche Mark as a new currency in West Germany by the Western allies, United States, Great Britain, and France. The Soviet Union wants full power over the entire city of Berlin. Britain and the United States responded to this blockade by carrying out the largest air aid delivery operation in history. In addition to helping Berlin, Western allies also embarked on a trade embargo on East Germany and the Soviet Union's bloc countries. Finally, on May 12, 1949, the Soviet Union lifted the blockade. Let's move on to May 12, 1998, when Trisakti's tragedy happens. The Trisakti tragedy was a shooting incident in Indonesia on May 12, 1998, against students while holding a demonstration demanding President Suharto step down from his position. This incident resulted in 4 Trisakti University students killed and dozens of others injured. The background to the demonstration was the faltering Indonesian economy in early 1998, which was affected by the Asian financial crisis. The students also held a large-scale demonstration to the House of Representatives building. We'll end with May 12, 2008, when Sichuan earthquakes happens. An earthquake measuring 7.9 on Richter scale with an epicenter in Wenchuan, Sichuan, China, occurred on May 12, 2008. The tremor was felt as far away as Bangkok, Thailand. According to the official reports of the Chinese government, the death toll reached 14,866 people. But based on data from the United States Geological Survey, earthquake victims reached 87,000 people. Listener, that was today in history. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Terpisah ruang dan waktu, terhalang dunia berbeda. Walau berat rintangan menghadang kita berdua, tegar. Membuat kita menyerah.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Indonesian Embassy Facilitates the Repatriation of Indonesian Citizens Overseas. The protection of Indonesian citizens is the focus of Indonesian representatives abroad, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Various services and assistance are provided by the representatives, such as food aid, repatriation facilities to the country. The Embassy of Republic of Indonesia for South Africa in Pretoria has facilitated the repatriation of 27 Indonesian citizens by using the South African Airways from Johannesburg or Tambo International Airport to Denpasar and Jakarta on May 6, 2020. As quoted by page kemlu.go.id, the Indonesian citizens consisted of ship crew, students, and travelers who could not return to Indonesia. Human access from and to the South African region was closed following the South African government's policy of imposing a national lockdown since March 26, 2020. Indonesian ambassador to South Africa and concurrently Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini, primarily known as Swaziland, Salman Al-Farisi said that the repatriation was a real protection effort provided by the state to the Indonesian citizens abroad. The success of the repatriation process is a reflection of a good bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Africa, and the result of strong coordination between the representatives of the Republic of Indonesia in Pretoria and Cape Town and the South African Ministry of Foreign Affairs. 14 Indonesian citizens landed in Denpasar, Bali on Thursday, and the remaining 13 people arrived in Jakarta on Friday. The South African Airways plane returned to South Africa carrying South African nationals from Denpasar and Jakarta. At present, the South African government has relaxed its lockdown policy to restore the national economy. Some activities that were previously banned are now gradually allowed. However, the local government has not opened an international flight in the South African region, so government intervention is needed in the repatriation process of Indonesian citizens this time. There are at least 500 Indonesian citizens in South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini, who are students, housewives, and professionals. Until now, there are no Indonesian citizens in the four countries to be confirmed being infected with the COVID-19. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Jangan terbelenggu kata-kata orang yang hanya mengganggu dan membuatmu ragu. Jangan kau percaya bahwa takdir semua wanita sama dan tak ada yang berbeda. Sebuah halangan bukanlah satu alasan, jadikanlah satu tantangnya. Siapa bilang gak bisa kurai semua mimpi? Siapa bilang gak bisa aku wanita yang berani? Siapa bilang gak bisa? Seorang ibu yang berkarir penting, tetapi putriku selalu jadi nomor satu. Engkau wanita kini yang jadi pemimpin, juga seorang istri yang berpikir dengan hati. Saatnya tiba untuk menggapai cita-cita. Jangan takut untuk mencoba. Siapa bilang gak bisa kurai semua mimpi? Siapa bilang gak bisa aku wanita yang berani? Siapa bilang gak bisa? Siapa bilang gak bisa?
langkah ku iring langkahmu selalu berada. Jika kau mulai tak percaya, tunjukkan kemampuanmu untuk dirimu. Buktikan bahwa engkau bisa.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Wawoangi Mosque in South Buton, Southeast Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Wawoangi Mosque is the oldest mosque in Buton Island. Its location is on a hill of Wawoangi Village, Sampulawa District, South Buton Regency, Southeast Sulawesi Province. The mosque is also known with the name Masjid di Atas Angin. In Chia-Chia language or the local language, Wawoangi means on the wind, so that this mosque is called Masjid di Atas Angin. The mosque was built by Sheikh Abdul Wahid in 1527 and believed as the first mosque as a facility to spread Islam in Buton Island. The building of Wawoangi Mosque looks simple, however the mosque has its own uniqueness. All materials of the mosque are made of wood. Its wall from small bamboos with standing position and arranged not tightly, and those bamboos are tied with trees fiber. Its roof is made of thin thick wood, and there is no dome or tower on the sides of the mosque. At the mosque yard, there is sandalwood tree and some old tombs. One of them is the tomb of Sultan Lasaparagau, father of Sultan Buton VII. Wawoangi Mosque is rarely used by residents in a daily life because its location is quite far from the community's village. But the mosque is still preserved by Wawoangi Village because it is usually used for traditional activities. Especially in the holy month of Ramadan, Wawoangi Mosque is usually used by residents for Tarawih prayer. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Wawoangi Mosque. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Tahu engkau menunggu menantikan mimpimu. Bersabarlah kau cintaku, serahkan pada waktu. Berikanlah aku waktu, aku berjanji padamu, akan kurai mimpiku.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Selamat Ulang Tahun, or in English, Happy Birthday. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Selamat Ulang Tahun or Happy Birthday. Tony is celebrating birthday. Dinda, Joko and Enda give him a surprise and wish him a happy birthday.
Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun. Ayo, tiup lilinnya.
Wah, terima kasih.
Ini ulang tahunmu yang keberapa?
Ke-28.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Umur. Umur, which means age. 28 tahun, which means 28 years. Ke-28, which means 28th. Ulang tahun, which means birthday. Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. Ayo tiup lilinnya, which means come on, blow the candle. Selamat ulang tahun yang ke-28, which means happy 28th birthday. Berapa umurmu? Which means, how old are you? Ini ulang tahun yang keberapa? Which means, how old are you? In the dialogue, Dinda wishes Tony a happy birthday by saying Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. If you want to give expression of happy birthday to someone, you can say Selamat ulang tahun. But some people also say Selamat hari lahir. But the expression Selamat ulang tahun is more popular and often used by people in Indonesia. While the expression of happy birthday with someone's age, for example, to whom with 28 years old, you can say Selamat ulang tahun yang ke-28, which means happy 28th birthday. In the Indonesian language, cardinal numbers which show a number are 1, 2, 3, and etc. While cardinal numbers which show sequence are ke-1 or first, ke-2 or second, ke-3 or third. So cardinal number which mentioning sequence is usually marked with a change of prefix ke. Next are some examples of the sentences. Berapa umurmu? Which means, how old are you? 28 tahun, which means 28 years. Ini ulang tahunmu yang keberapa? Which means, how old are you? Ke-28, which means the 28th. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun. Ayo, tiup lilinnya.
Wah, terima kasih.
Ini ulang tahunmu yang keberapa?
Ke-28.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Yang indah untukmu.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Tundang Corona, sung by Ali Akbar. Amid the corona pandemic, which is currently on the break throughout the world, does not dampen the enthusiasm of various musicians to keep on working and also to remind people on the dangers of the virus through their works. One of the musicians is Ali Akbar. The eccentric performance of this musician who comes from Pontianak, West Kalimantan, composed a song entitled Tundang Corona in Malay language. The song has a simple, funny, and easy lyrics to be remembered by those who listen to it. Its lyrics consist of 12 rhymes and tells the way to prevent the COVID-19 virus, such as washing hands, stay home, using masks, and suggest to eat food which contains good nutrition. The song Tundang Corona also invites everybody to obey the government's instruction to stop the virus. The song was released on March 27, 2020. Listener, let's listen to the song Tundang Corona by Ali Akbar. Enjoy the song.
Kumpul sama kami sini nih.
Ada kumpul ya.
Berani ya kita nih ya. Kita tak tahu ini musim-musim tak bagus nih. Iya kan dak? Ada masalah dalam dunia gitu nih. Masalah apa?
Nanti aku jelaskan. Daripada kita nongkrong kota senono sini, aku kita ikut aku. Bagaimana?
Ayo. Assalamualaikum. Kami mengucapkan kepada masyarakat di semua kalangan. Pada kali ini kami beritahukan suatu masalah yang sangat meresahkan. Ada satu virus yang sangat berbahaya yang kini menjadi permasalahan dunia. Lebih berbahaya dari kurap di celana, tak lain tak bukan itulah virus corona. Bapak gubernur juga sudah berkata kalbar dinyatakan sudah sangat bahaya. Sebagai masyarakat harus bekerjasama supaya corona tak ada merajalela. Banyak masyarakat ini bertanya-tanya bagaimana cara untuk menyikapinya. Kalau kita taat anjuran pemerintah, insya Allah corona akan mudah dicegah. Amin, 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 ya Allah. Sejak corona kegiatan dihentikan, dari sekolahan sampai ke pemerintahan. Buat yang terkait jangan ambil kesempatan, bukannya di rumah malah pergi beli borang. hindari kerumunan, itu tindakan pertama. Kalau tak ada buat, lebih baik di rumah. Selain aman, jauh dari corona, isi dompet selamat, tak ada terbengkas percuma. Kalaulah nyawa rasa pengen nak makan, jangan jeroboh, tangkap tungam dan telan. Ambil dok sabun lalu cucilah tangan, supaya corona tak mudah masuk ke badan. Virus corona kini sudah menyebar, gunakan masker kalau mau keluar. Selain buat cegah virus tak nular, juga buat tutup mulut busuk bau bangar. Kalau kurang gizi, badan pun jadi lemah. Virus corona hinggapnya lebih mudah. Berbanyak makan sayur beserta buah. Jangan asyik micin yang selalu dirata. Demam batuk pilek juga sesak pernafasan, segera periksa di klinik kesehatan. Jangan anggap enteng apalagi diremehkan, bisa jadi itu corona yang mematikan. Dan ikhtiar sudah pun dilakukan, tingkatkan ibadah, tawakal dan ikhlaskan. Virus corona jangan terlalu ditakutkan, tiada kematian tanpa kehendak Tuhan. Pesan terakhir dari lagu ini, diharap kita untuk berhati-hati. Pantun corona cukup sampai di sini. Assalamualaikum serta terima kasih.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.